Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all of my blessed beloveds out there. It is Humpity Hump Day. It is October. It is October 6th. Oh my gosh, is time flying or what? I do have to say that it is an incredibly beautiful day out today, and I'm pretty blessed with that, I think. We've had some strange weather patterns lately. One day it'll be 32 degrees out, and the next day it's 65. So, go figure. I can't figure that one out at all. Housekeeping notes. Wanted to remind you all to join me on my new quest with the newsletter. Yes, the newsletter, and thank God for Karen because she put it all together and it looks fabulous. But it's going to keep you up to date and allow you to know where I am month to month. So sign up. Go on the website, sign up for the newsletter. Other thing, the vlogs, they're coming along quite smashingly, so I'm looking forward to the January piece, launching those. It's exciting, it's fun, and I think the responses that I've had so far, people are really digging it, so it looks like it's going to be pretty consistent and a lot going on. Just a reminder, at the end of this month, I will be in the beautiful sunny state of Florida. We are not going to be celebrating a traditional Thanksgiving. I think we're going to do sandwiches on the beach. But I will be visiting clients. I will be visiting, basically clients and potential new sponsors. And Chloe's going to be really thrilled when she gets home today because I am actually making a gargantuan turkey as we speak. So the house is not only warm, and the sun is up, and the sky is clear, but there's this beautiful smell of yummy roasting turkey. Oh, I'm drooling. It's crazy. If you have not joined me on Facebook, I posted the funniest picture of my personal life today with my little princess Cuddles, Bella, the puppy that I got for Chloe. Bella has this notorious habit of trying to stick her fanny in my face no matter what, and I'm not into dog aromatherapy. So I'm lying on my bed, 6:30 this morning. I'm reading my emails. I'm ready for the gym, just being lazy. Didn't want to actually go to the gym at 6:30. I was thinking more like never, but I did go. And Bella crawls, and she does this backwards thing right into my neck, which really scared me because that's usually not the side of a dog that you want to have anywhere close to your face. So definitely. Go into Facebook, facebook.com/celiacroads. Become my friend so that you can see all of the whimsical and crazy things that happen in my day-to-day life. Amy, we missed you last week. Glad that you're aboard today.
Just some scheduling that I had to rearrange for somebody, and now I've got that kind of straightened away so I can still be on with you today, so business is picking up, which is great, but, you know, then it makes adjustments in my schedule that's already done.
Right.
But I am hosting a meditation tonight at Unity from 7 to about 8:30, so if anyone's into that kind of thing, come on out and join us on the fourth floor in the Lower Mill Building in Rawlingsford. So that's where I'll be tonight.
Very cool. Now, two funny things, and then I want to get Susan on because she's really this incredible soul, and I'm just so excited to have her. One, I went to the baby expo today to see what's new in the world of baby, and I ran into Jess, I was telling her about Bella, and she goes, "Have you seen Amy's new dog?" And I said, "I haven't seen Amy since February. It's crazy." And she goes, "What? Don't you guys still do the show together?" And I said, "Yeah, she doesn't do it with me anymore. She stays at home." And she's like, "What? February?" And I said, "I know. She wants me to make an appointment to see her. Can you believe it?" She's laughing. So, just kind of stared at me funny. She's like, "What?"
An appointment with me,
Well, we've just been crazy. We've been crazy busy. So I thought that was funny. But for your edification and passing of information, I am now doing a major fundraiser for Celiac Sprue Association. So it's called the Merry Christmas Rusty Campaign. So instead of giving me a postcard or a card or anything, a dollar or more donated to Celiac Sprue Association with the subject line as Merry Christmas Rusty so that I can acknowledge you on the radio, that would be super cool. We're trying to really kickstart some international programming for education on celiac disease and research. Did you get that? Are you there?
Yes.
You moved. So I am very, very thrilled to have Susan on. Oh, and OT is listening to us too, by the way. I wanted to give OT a big old shout out. Yeah, he's so awesome. Love, love, love OT. And you can definitely catch his radio show on blogtalkradio.com, not KNOT, your typical radio. It's a great show to listen to. But today we have Susan Wilking-Horan, who is the author of the Single Source Cancer Course. She's an attorney, patient advocate, and three-time cancer survivor. So when I was doing research on her, she is as cute as a button. She is adorable. She has that Goldie Hawn look. Fabulous woman, and she's three-time cancer survivor. Here I am just complaining about my precancerous cells, and this woman's done it three times. God bless her, and I'm so glad she's on. Susan, are you there?
I am, Rusty. Good morning.
Good morning, my dear. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Oh, thank you. It's so nice to be here with you.
I am so grateful to have you on. So tell us a little bit more about your fantastic self. I'm amazed by what you've done. No pressure.
Oh, gosh. Well, listen, I am a patient advocate, and you've done your research. You are so sweet. But this is not a position I volunteered for. It's just that sometimes we find life takes a turn here and a turn there, you know, unexpectedly, and we're faced with certain challenges. And all we can do is deal with those challenges and try to learn from them, and then try to find a way to pay them forward. So that's
right.
All I'm doing. That's all I'm doing with my books, really. And hopefully, you know, the Chinese have a saying, and they say, to know the road ahead, ask those coming back. And that's all I try to do is give others the benefit of my experience.
So why don't you give us an understanding of who you are, what inspires you, and how what happened that actually made the transition? Cancer is a very loose term, so if you don't mind delving into that a little bit, that would be great.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I was an attorney. I am an attorney. And then at a very young age, I was diagnosed with cancer, with colon cancer. You know, this is the kind of cancer that people twice my age would get. And so it caught me completely unexpectedly. And when a cancer catches you unexpectedly, you're not prepared for it. You don't know what to do. You know, it can be more complicated. Treatment can be longer. All of those things. So I dealt with that the first time. I continued to be an attorney. And then I was diagnosed again a few years later with skin cancer, and then 6 years ago with breast cancer. So what I tried to do after the first cancer, I realized, and you're right, cancer is such a loose term because, first of all, let's lay the foundation for this. We say cancer, Rusty, but cancer is not just one disease. It is hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of different diseases.
Amen.
Even when we're talking about breast cancer, that is not one cancer. There are many, many different types of breast cancer. There are subtypes. There are subtypes. So it is a very loose term. And just so we don't bore everybody to death, we'll just keep it very general. But after my first cancer, I really was determined to find out why did I get this so young in my life? And I did my homework. I did find out that this particular cancer ran in my family. That was something of which I was unaware. And my goal then was to find out what other cancers I might be at risk for, develop an actual, you know, pencil to paper test that I could actually take objectively, and so that if the other cancers that I appeared to be at risk for occurred, I would be more prepared for them.
Right.
And holy smokes, sure enough, I had determined that I was at risk for skin cancer. Now, we're all human beings, so we are all at risk for skin cancer because, you know, the human epidermis, that's the same. My black friends, my African-American friends, all of my friends are all at risk for skin cancer. It really doesn't matter what color your skin is. It's just
there
that.
And I appreciate the fact that you're actually being blunt about it, because there was a time period. Now, I grew up in the South, and I've lived up here in New England, so half my life. And it's funny to me, when I moved up here as a teenager, people in New England didn't believe that they, like, there was this rumor that they are not going to get skin cancer because they have less sun. So there's that myth. Then there was this rumor that if you were darker skinned, you're not going to get skin cancer. And I'm scratching my head going, but skin is skin.
You're exactly right. Skin is skin. Human skin is the same. Now, there are different levels of risk. For example, if your skin is darker, your risk is less, but you still have a risk. Now, in my case, because I have light coloring, I have light hair, I have light eyes, my risk is greater. But all of us, as I was saying, you know, my African-American friends, my Asian friends, me, my Caucasian friends, all of us, we all have to wear sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have to wear hats, and we should all wear sunglasses. And this is one of the very simple things we can do in our lives to help prevent cancer, at least those types of cancer, melanoma, basal cell, and squamous cell.
So I want, this is a terribly important conversation, and I know we actually have a lot of listeners on, a lot of people in the chat room. Hello, chat folks. If you have questions and you're sneaking us at work, feel free to type it in the little box there. I will respond or ask Susan to give the answer verbally, which is fine either way. But if you have a moment and you'd like to call in and talk to her directly, the number here is 347-205-9443. Susan, what kind of skin cancer did you have? Was it the kind where they just freeze and pick off and you're good,
mostly,
or was it aggressive?
Yes, and I have to watch for that continuously, because
right.
if I miss any of those, it can develop into a melanoma. And melanoma is the most serious type of skin cancer. So it's something that I have to monitor for all the time. And also, one thing everyone should do, always undergo an annual skin test. Go to your dermatologist, have a body scan done, a visual body scan. Just check up on your skin. There are a lot of places we can't see. We can't see the top of our head. We can't always see our back. Have your professional check it every year. That's a simple thing to do. But, you know, as a part of my journey, going through three different cancers, the first cancer I was totally unprepared for. And my goal was to be prepared or more prepared for any other cancer that may occur to me in my life. And
now,
my
how
goal...
Old,
yeah.
Sorry, how old were you when you found out that you had intestinal cancer? Because that's pretty 30s, aggressive and
yes,
serious.
30s,
okay,
yes.
So, wow.
But remember,
wow,
that was very genetically influenced. I discovered when I was doing my homework after the fact, which is too bad. You know, we want to do our homework before the fact so that we are prepared for these things.
I know, but my crystal ball is always foggy when it comes to those life events that are really going to smack you with a cosmic 2x4. It's always foggy, so you can never prepare.
Well, but you can. You really can. And this is my goal. I really want people to understand that, yes, you know, cancer is out there. And the statistics are that by the year 2020, which is, you know, approaching, one out of every two people will have or have had cancer. It is a fact of life. And so many people are so afraid of it, they don't want to look at it, they don't want to talk about it. But everyone, that's what I'm here to say. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to be informed. You know, Rusty, one thing I do say is living out here in California, we have earthquakes in California. And that is a fact of life of living on the West Coast. Now, we have a choice when we live in California. Either we can totally ignore the fact that we do have earthquakes and we can just hope it never happens and hope we never have to deal with it. That's one choice. Or we can make another choice, which is to acknowledge the fact that we do have earthquakes, put together a kit, have supplies, have a plan, do everything you can to be prepared. Because if you do, when that earthquake comes, you are going to be in much better shape than if you had not prepared at all. And the same is true with cancer. It is a fact of life. You know, it's like potholes in the street everywhere you go. And it's not going away. So we have a choice. We can ignore it and hope it never happens, or we can learn everything we can about our own personal risk and do everything we can to prevent it.
So there's the school of thought, and this is where those of us who are deeply spiritual kind of feel like we're a dog chasing our tail. And Amy, you can pipe in anytime, my friend. So there's this whole concept of manifestation, and when you hold on to a thought, you actually create it. So do you think that by being as proactive and as thinking and constantly turning in your head the thought of cancer, that might have manifested physical symptoms of cancer?
Hmm. No,
it's a tough question because it's philosophical, but...
It is. But I would put it the other way. I think that for everything in life, the more positively we think about it and the more we prepare for it, either to encourage it or deter it,
mm-hmm.
affects us in that way.
Right.
So I think by acknowledging that, okay, we have earthquakes out here, so let's be prepared just in case. And my family has this particular cancer that runs in it. So you know what? I'm going to learn what I can about it, and I will just be prepared just in case.
Right.
We want to be informed. And here's why. Because cancer, you know, let me give you some more statistics, Rusty, because these are really amazing. Just in the United States alone, we have 500,000 people who unfortunately die from cancer, you know, related illnesses every year. Now, out of that, one-third of those deaths are attributed to poor diet and physical inactivity. And another third are attributed to the use of tobacco products. So by making some very simple and healthy lifestyle changes, do you know we could actually prevent two-thirds of the cancer deaths in this country each year?
I do know that, but what I would love to hear is how. I'd love, because we hear it all the time, and cancer is such, it's almost as though people are numb to the information. And so my biggest hope was that because you're amazing, is that maybe your voice and your tactic and your strategy would change the listening of some people. So give us an idea of some of the strategies. And again, smoking, everybody knows smoking is a big one. What are other things that would deter, prevent, mm-hmm. lessen the possibility, because I'm you know, I've had cervical precancerous cells 3 times now on my cervix, constantly battling that. I think it's stress induced, and I'm most people do, because I think you manifest those things when you're under a lot of stress. So for me, advocating stress management is huge. No smoking, huge. What else?
Yes. Well, let's take a look at diet and exercise. We hear about this all the time, too, and I want your listeners to understand this information will empower them. And that's right. What this is all about. We want to empower ourselves and give us all these different tools that we can be aware of and that we can use in our daily lives to help protect ourselves. So in diet, of course, we want to eat more fruits and vegetables. It's the same thing you hear all the time. Reduce our fat intake and get up and move. And, you know, Rusty, it doesn't mean that you have to go to a gym for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. It means when you're watching the news on television at night, instead of sitting down on that couch, why don't you just stand up and walk in place for 5 or 10 minutes? Just move. Once we start incorporating a healthier diet, and by that I just mean no drastic changes, but maybe a few more fruits and vegetables, maybe a little less fat, maybe a little more lean meats if you eat meat. Make sure that we don't abuse our alcohol intake. And move once in a while. Take a walk once a day, something like that. Make these small baby changes. Bring them into your life, and they will make a difference.
I call it the power of 21. Mm-hmm. So if you do something different, if you just say you're going to take 20 minutes a day to move for 21 days and you hold strong and you hold to it, you break a habit. That's the power of 21. So you do something the same for 21 days, you've developed a new habit. And I think you're right. Instead of sitting on I'm not a TV person anyway, but instead of sitting there watching TV, you could be standing up, moving, stretching, doing something. And you think that would make a big impact for the change?
Well, it does. I don't think that. I mean, the American Cancer Society, the National Cancer Institute, all the large organizations are all in agreement about this. It will make a difference. And they work together, you know, improving our diets, trying to eat a little bit healthier, just a little bit healthier day by day, and a little bit of exercise. And as you said, maybe that's the challenge, Rusty. Maybe we say, for 21 days, do it and see how you feel. You probably feel better, and you probably have incorporated it enough into your life so that you want to keep doing it. So that's right. The challenge. That should be your challenge to your listeners. Now, other things that we can do, again, I know you said smoking, but you know, it's tobacco use in general. And again, this isn't coming from me. This is coming from the experts who have studied this for decades and decades. Whether you smoke a cigarette or a cigar or a pipe or you chew tobacco, it is the carcinogens in the tobacco that are harmful to the human body. So it's not just smoking. It is tobacco use. And in fact, you know, when we talk about this, 50% of the cancers in the United States could be completely avoided. And if we say 1/3 of the deaths are attributed to tobacco use, well, that just makes such a huge difference.
So let's rewind a little bit and go back to your story. So you were relatively young to have colon cancer. Then you ended up with skin cancer. What was the third cancer? I think I missed that.
Breast cancer.
Oh, breast cancer. Lord, the C word loves you. Wow.
But by the time I developed breast cancer, I knew that my risk was higher because I had done my homework. Now, let me explain. I have fibrosis, which means very dense tissue of the breast.
Right. Yep.
And that immediately puts me and other women with this condition at a higher risk for developing breast cancer. So I knew that. So I was very, very careful. When it was detected, because I was on top of it all the time, regular mammograms, regular checkups, we caught this little tiny thing very early. And
that's very good.
I was very early, and I was able to go in. It was removed through a procedure called a lumpectomy, and I had a little localized radiation. And, Rusty, that was it. It was all on an outpatient basis. Now, I'm going to compare my first cancer, the intestinal cancer, to my last cancer, the breast cancer, and the difference is like night and day. Why? Because with the first one, I was caught completely unaware. I was unprepared. It was very difficult to treat, and, you know, I don't want anyone to have to go through that. By the time I got to my third cancer, I knew I was at risk. I was monitoring for it, and I caught it early, and the treatment was easy, and it was six and a half years ago now, so that is also considered a cure. This is what I would love to see people do. If they are prepared, they are going to catch their cancer in all likelihood earlier, which means they can treat it much easier and have a much better chance of being treated successfully. And that's what I want. I don't want people to suffer unnecessarily.
Well, the interesting piece about that is, if for me, I was diagnosed with precancer cells in the cervix when I was 14. My very first pap, boom, oh, by the way. And back then, it was unclear as to how or why or what or anything. You know, later on, what was it, Amy, about 10 years ago? I think it was when our older girls were just breaking into puberty. When they came up with the HPV connection.
Yeah, but it still wasn't, it really wasn't, they're more prepared, what do you call it, scan for it a lot more now than they did then. They were aware of it, but they didn't really educate or do anything about it back then.
Well, so the point was, and she's right, there was nothing. It was just, oh, by the way, you're 14 and we're going to remove part of your cervix. Great. That's fabulous. Try to explain that to a 14-year-old. I don't care how smart they are. That's tough stuff. So then I had the whole period of having every 6 months being tested until it went away. And then I found out later that there was breast cancer that ran in my biological family. I'm adopted. So not really clear as to all of that information. So, and it was fibroids, like you were talking about, Susan. So I think my first mammogram, I was 29.
Wow, that's early.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of things about that. First, oh, Rusty, I congratulate you so much. You were adopted, and you took the time and trouble to look into your biological family. This is so important, and you know this is a problem for many people in the world today. They don't know who their biological parents are, and that's very difficult when you're trying to do research into your family medical history. But you were successful, and you found out that you had these particular cancers that ran biologically, genetically, in your family. So, you know, it's just something that you want to keep your eye on. You know that you're going to have regular mammograms, regular exams. You know, men who have prostate cancer that runs in their family, it's the same thing. It is hormonal-based. They should have regular exams. They have the PSA test, all kinds of things, just so that if it should ever develop, it will, in all likelihood, be caught early and treated successfully.
Well, and it's even more interesting for me. I have a couple of male friends who have had breast cancer. that is a hurdle to really jump over because males don't think that it's possible for them to have it. And my friends are really, really, they're wonderful people, and they do the cancer walks, and, you know, they're very open about being male with breast cancer. But that's something else that I want to just make sure we throw out there. Cancer doesn't discriminate against age. It doesn't discriminate against gender. It doesn't discriminate against height or wit or money or funniness or what?
Or nothing.
Country?
You're absolutely,
or nothing.
You're absolutely right.
If the C word wants to get you, it's going to get you. Period.
That's why we all have to have the information. You know,
right.
Of course, you know, last month, everyone, October, was Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
And we were all pink.
Yes, absolutely. And I wrote a few articles, and one of them, Rusty, addressed breast cancer in men specifically.
Oh, now, forward that to me so I can Facebook it. That's fabulous.
I absolutely will. It's,
thank you.
At my website, and I think this one came out, 2 weeks ago or so. But because it's confusing, and men don't understand that they're at risk, just a few facts about that. First of all, it's very rare in men. And let's say, for example, in the United States, perhaps 1,500 men are diagnosed with breast cancer each year. Now we compare the number of women diagnosed with breast cancer, which is 100 times greater. It's about 150,000 cases each year. So there is a big
difference. Well, our sisters are a little bit more complicated anyway.
Yes, very complicated. And also, remember, we have our breasts are different. The female breast has much more fat and connective tissue, and the because of testosterone in the male system, testosterone suppresses the fat and connective tissue. Now, in men, the way to put this is all men possess a small amount of what is called non-functioning breast tissue. Now, that just means that that's tissue that cannot produce milk. Now, in a male, the tissue is directly behind the nipple on the chest wall. And it's this tissue that is susceptible to breast cancer, to the development of the cells of breast cancer. So, and it's funny because boy, the symptoms are basically the same. Men, first of all, now this is interesting. We know that women who have breast cancer that seems to run in their family, we have mothers or sisters or daughters, first-degree relatives, we know that that puts us at a greater risk as well. But did you know that if a man has several female relatives who have had breast cancer, it puts him at a greater risk for developing the disease?
I knew that just because of my personal connections, but I'm so grateful that you pointed that out.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And it's so important for men to know this. Not only that, now we also know in women that if we have an anomaly of the BRCA 1 and 2 genes, well, that puts us at greater risk for breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and other cancers. Now, in men, if they have a family history, they may have inherited an anomaly of the BRCA2 gene. And the BRCA2 gene, yes, the BRCA2 gene is significant for men because it means that they have a greater risk for developing breast cancer. As you said earlier, it's not just for women anymore.
No.
It never has been.
No, and I think, you know, trying to have a conversation with some of my men friends about doing breast checks, and they just kind of look at me like I'm a one-eyed, one-horned people eater. it's actually pretty darn serious, and I tend to do serious things with tongue-in-cheek because I think people listen better when
yes.
It's a little lighthearted. But I'm a total advocate for breast checking parties. Like, you know, your husband-wife team, pick a Sunday a month and do it together. you're a husband and
Absolutely.
Wife. Why not? Like,
Absolutely.
As silly as it sounds, how realistic is that? Because this way you're supporting each other.
Yeah.
And it's a reality for both of you. And to furthermore the discussion of genetics, the majority of the population doesn't really know what their genetics making is anyway. So I think up into the 1950s, we didn't really have great medical record keeping. You know, it's like everybody's making this big deal about HIPAA laws and all of that. I think it's freaking awesome. My great-great-great-great-grandchildren will have my whole genome. So they can totally be like, oh, that was my great-great-great-great-grandmother, and she did this. Okay, check me for that. That's fabulous. You know what I mean? But up until the 1950s, hardly anyone actually went to the doctors, unless they were really super sick.
It's wonderful. And remember also back then, I mean, medical record keeping, what was that? You know, they kept a few sheets of paper in a file cabinet somewhere.
That's my point.
So it just wasn't accessible. Today it's accessible. And it's so important, as you said, for people to take advantage of that. Again, knowledge is power, everybody. It is power. Empower yourself. You know, one last thing about...
The point that I was trying to make is if you were born probably 1950 on, you're not really going to have a genetic understanding of your family history. So every single person needs to check themselves and be vigilant about it. That was my point.
That's absolutely correct. You know, I mean, when we look at some of our parents or our grandparents, again, those records aren't available. And also, Rusty, remember, with our grandparents or going back even further or our parents, let's say, like you said, the 1950s and before, well, back then, people were dying from a lot of diseases that people don't die from anymore. For example, tuberculosis, you know, all these different things. Yes, exactly. Now, when they died, they might have had cancer, but back in those days, it usually wasn't the cause of the death. The cause was usually attributed to other diseases that have since been basically eradicated. Now, because those diseases have been eradicated, people today live longer, but the longer we live and the older we get, one of our big risk factors is age. The older we get, the greater our risk for developing cancers becomes. And so, again, it's hard to understand those records. If you can get them, if you have them, please make use of them. You know, it's all to your advantage. And you're right. Thank goodness. People from now on, our children, grandchildren, they're going to have wonderful records. And also, it's such important, valuable information in determining what cancers we might be at risk for, but also what we can do to prevent them, because that's the important thing. We want to prevent them. And if we can't completely prevent them, then at least we're going to be on the lookout for them, and we will catch them early. And that is the whole key.
Well, and for me, I'm celiac as well, so my risk for certain cancers are higher now because of my autoimmune dis-ease. For me, I really look at it as an opportunity to be part of some amazing research. I'm out there. Please stick me. Take my blood. Take my skin sample. Just take it, you know, because I have an 8-year-old daughter who just rocks, and she's amazing. And I'm going to have some pretty freaking cool grandkids. I just know because my kid's awesome. So at least I know it's like my insurance policy that my kid and my grandkids and future offspring genetic multiplication stuff, they'll be a little bit more prepared than I was. They'll, you know, and that's the cool part, because that is
so cool. That is just
yeah.
so cool. And Rusty, it's so smart. it's great. So, I mean, you know, as we said earlier, yes, you know, stress and the philosophy of illness and all of that, of course, that's a part of it. But let's take the tools we have, the concrete tools we have now, like this information, genetic information, medical records, and use it to our advantage.
Absolutely. So I'm going to do a quick pause.
About environment.
That was going to be my next plug, Amy. Can you hold that thought just for a second? Because that's an awesome one. Okay. So feel free to call in to talk to Susan or myself or Amy or all three of us at 347-205-9443. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty, and today we're talking about cancer. Yes, that holy C word that pesters us in some way, shape, or form all the time. Go, Amy.
I was listening to everything you were saying, and I agreed about being aware of your family history, because one thing that you can do with that information is change your habits. An interesting article I read about cancer and other autoimmune diseases, arthritis and things like that, is families also carry the same habits, the same food habits, the same environmental habits. You may have, you know, drinkers in your family or people who use tobacco products, and that kind of carries through. So the environmental pieces also play a part in keeping that disease running through that family. So what I've done with the information is, you know, for instance, my family have a lot of heart disease. So what causes the heart disease? The tobacco use. So I stopped smoking many, many, many years ago. My children currently do not smoke. So that's going to reduce their risk of getting heart disease.
Absolutely. That is so important. It's so important, and you're so right, Amy, because these habits, along with genetic makeup, tend to run in families. And let's go back to a minute. Remember what Rusty was saying earlier. If you just take one thing, and here's the challenge again for your listeners, take one habit that you have in your life that maybe you're not that happy with, maybe you don't move enough, maybe you're using a tobacco product, maybe you feel you're drinking too much, maybe you're eating too much fat, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
Change that for 21 days. That's our challenge today,
everybody.
Rusty, mm-hmm. Amy, this is our challenge for 21 days. Do this, everyone. And then after the 21st day, see if you don't feel better. And see if all of a sudden this thing that you had tried to change about yourself, this small thing, one step at a time, remember, it'll probably feel completely normal by then, and you'll like it.
And that is great, because it takes 21 to 30 days for your body to the attachments to that habit are shed. It takes a minimum of 21 days that to happen. And I'm noticing, because I am more aware of my family history, I'm deterring my children away from foods and eating more fruits and vegetables and being more outgoing than I was when I was a child. So that, you know, that whole piece is very important, along with getting checked depending on the severity. There's also, I don't know if you've heard of thermography.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's just another alternative to mammograms, especially those who need to have them more often. I think that's a great alternative to mention. I myself have thermography done in lieu of, I'm lucky where I'm totally healthy, so I only have to have my yearly exam, but it really is good. It's also good to know that you're clear. It gives your mindset less to worry about, so it helps your stress level as well.
Yes, it does, and that's so important. You know, one thing I want to say about this, because I also, like Rusty, we have fibrosis. We have that dense breast tissue. When I go in for a mammogram now, and I go in once a year, I do want to mention to all of your listeners, if they have this same condition of the breast, very dense breast tissue, when they have their mammogram, they should also have what is called a screening ultrasound. It is a very special ultrasound. It goes perpendicular across the breast and then up and down across the breast. And this is why, with a mammogram alone, with the dense breast tissue of fibrosis, that tissue, you can have a mammogram, but the chances of the mammogram missing an anomaly can be as high as 30%. When you combine the mammogram with a screening ultrasound, ladies, screening ultrasound, you can reduce that 30% chance that something was missed to less than 5%. Now, unfortunately, here's the unfortunate part about that. The screening ultrasound is not covered by insurance, and it does cost about $280. But I do want to mention it anyway because that combo together will take a high-risk woman and give her almost complete satisfaction that the tests are done and they're accurate and she's okay.
So I wanted to bring up another layer of the environmental piece. I am a huge obnoxious individual in regards to the chemicals that we constantly, so I don't think it's just cigarette smoking that gets you. I don't think it's just the Teflon on pans that gets you. I think it's the cigarette smoke plus the Teflon on pans plus the aerosols plus the synthetic chemicals that we put on our lawn plus the stuff that's coming out of the back of somebody's muffler plus. So we have all of these stinky, nasty, chemically things that we literally cover our body inside and out with. What do the statistics say in regards to reducing those types of environmental factors?
Yes, you know, and that's a very difficult one because even though tests are constantly being conducted on all of the things that you just mentioned, it's very difficult to draw a firm line between one particular product and cancer. It's hard to say that this causes cancer. That's very difficult to say. Now, it's easier to say something like tobacco use is associated with the development of these cancers.
Right.
This particular chemical is associated with the development of that cancer. But it's very difficult to get really up-to-date, correct, brave information on these kinds of things. So I think, I agree with you, the environment is hugely important to our health for many, many reasons. We need to exercise common sense, and a lot of cancer prevention know-how comes down to exercising our common sense. It's wonderful that we have so many natural products on the market today. I mean, from makeup to house cleaning products to natural fertilizers in our yard, all these kinds of things. Would I recommend them? Sure. Do I try to partake of them? Absolutely. And you're completely right, Rusty. They do have an effect on our health in a number of different reasons, for a number of different diseases.
Yeah, I find it, you know, when I was a little girl growing up in the South, you passed by the beauty salon, and this is not just a Southern thing. It's a childhood thing for me personally. I remember, you know, pregnant women smoking a cigarette, having their perm and all the hairspray, and I'm just thinking, you know, my whole generation really is the start of food allergies, and they're getting worse and worse and worse, but we seem to have more synthetic foods, and we seem to have more synthetic products, and we live more of a synthetic life for me, not being the brightest person in the world, I'm certainly, you know, I'm not a candidate for Albert Einstein Awards or anything like that, but my common sense tells me that, you know, that might have something to do with it. I don't know.
It does.
Our bodies are meant to absorb those substances or those molecular structures. So over time, as we ingest them, and like you said, Rusty, from the womb, you know, we're being inundated with these structures that our bodies weren't meant to absorb. So we create these toxins in our body, which, you know, deflect into our cellular makeup, and that in turn causes cancer. So it certainly is, you know, very important environmentally, to have emotional health, physical health. It all works together to help a person be well.
And which is why we do this show, because we think about the mind, body, and soul, and they are connected. You cannot have a tripod chair and sit on it if the legs are at different places, because then you'll fall. You'll fall and it hurts.
Everything is connected.
Everything's connected. You got to love yourself. You got to, you know, throw breath parties, whatever, you know, with your husband or whatever. Accept it. It's there, the big C word. It's like this little naughty, annoying alarm that your neighbor keeps setting off.
Okay, but you know what? Don't be afraid of it. Please, listeners today, don't be afraid of it. Are you afraid of the potholes in the street? No.
I am, they terrify
somewhere,
me.
You know where the bad streets are. You know where the potholes are. Learn about them. You can find ways to avoid them and get over them and go around them. The same is true of cancer. Now, it is a fact of life. Oh, let's just face it, everybody, and get on with it. Learn everything you can about it. It's not such a big deal. Okay, granted, we're talking about cancer. So it's not as exciting as talking about sex or love or money or all those
That's
wonderful
next show.
Things. but we can empower ourselves. And, you know, I just want to go through four little steps, Rusty, if I have time. Four little things that your listeners can take away with them today. And they are, the first thing, we have, this is our mantra out here. The first thing we say is we quit it. And when we say quit it, we're talking about tobacco use. You're going to be so much healthier. Your body is going to thank you. The second thing is cover it. Now, here we're talking about the human skin. It's our largest organ. Let's protect it. It protects everything else inside. Use sunscreen when you're outdoors. Wear a hat. Wear sunglasses. Exercise common sense. The next thing is going to be lose it, everybody, and work it. And what I mean by that is, gee, if maybe you have a few extra pounds, let's just try to start eating a little healthier. Make one little change. Add one fruit to your diet each day. And add a little exercise. Get up and walk in place for 5 minutes. Just make a little change. And the last thing is check it. Again, we're talking about skin cancer. Everyone can go to their dermatologist once a year and have their skin checked. Monitor yourself. Take care of yourself. No one cares as much about you as you do.
All right, so 1 minute. I have a trivia question for you. no pressure.
No pressure at all.
Do, 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 do. All right. what kinds of tests are there for cancer screening? Like, I know some, but I'm sure there are other non-invasive ones. So, just from experience. trying to find my nipple from the mammogram.
First of all, let's go back to skin cancer. The best thing one can do to prevent skin cancer or catch it early is to have that annual body check with your dermatologist. If we're talking about breast cancer, ladies, in particular, that mammogram, it's not infallible, but it is the best tool we have right now. There's also the screening ultrasound for women at higher risk. They're wonderful tools. Take advantage of them. for colon cancer. We have a colonoscopy.
That is so much fun. That's like getting your head stuck in a barrel of pickles. That is fun.
You know, it's so funny. Honestly, now listen, because I have had an intestinal cancer before, I know these tests intimately.
Yes, I do too.
Colonoscopy, everyone, I want you to know. I know. I want you to know. This is not a bad test. First of all, you're out for it. You're not even aware of it. The difficult part is the preparation the day before, because believe me, as I say in my book, put on your running shoes and be ready to get to that bathroom every 5 minutes.
Just stay there with some heavy ice packs.
Yeah, that's the hard part. But, you know, the test itself, and listen, this is the great thing about a colonoscopy, is colon cancer is the one cancer that actually almost preventable, completely preventable. Because what a colonoscopy does is it has a little camera, it goes up through the intestine, but if there is a polyp, a little anomaly, it is removed during the test. And that is so important because it is that little polyp, if you don't catch it, if it's not removed, that is what develops into colon cancer. So it's not just having a little camera going up and inspecting everything. It is the ability to take out anything that looks suspicious at the same time. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and the great part about it is it's literally a 15-minute procedure. It is the prep issue for me, personally, because that's not fun. But it's 15, they give you a little pill, you're out 15 minutes, you're like, what? I just fell asleep, leave me alone? I was taking a nap?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, this is nothing to be embarrassed about, everybody. I mean, the doctors who conduct these, they see bare rear ends all day long. It's not going to make any difference at all. So yours is just like everybody else's.
Exactly.
And it's a wonderful, wonderful test. Everyone over the age of 50 should be having regular colonoscopies. But again, check with your physician. You and your physician will come up with the proper schedule for screening. Men, talking about prostate cancer, always get your PSA tests. Go in, have your rectal exam, have your annual checkup. That is the best thing you can do to catch the possibility of prostate cancer early. Lung cancer, do you know now there's a little spit test? You actually spit on something and they can tell if there are certain cells in there that might develop into a lung cancer.
I didn't know about that one. That's awesome. Yes. See, that's non-invasive. That's perfect.
A simple lung x-ray, which is non-invasive, can determine these things. So, oh, gosh, you know, our pap smears, you know, Rusty, as you know, our pap smears are so important, ladies, our screening tools. I have, the first volume of my book, Prevention, goes into all of these things. There are so many things we can do to protect ourselves.
Now, I actually upped the time a little bit because I wanted you to continue on. And I'm very grateful that you have joined us today to help educate us on the big C. But one thing I've neglected to do, and please, please, please forgive me, is how do we find you? Where do we find you?
Oh, thanks, Rusty. Yeah, well, I have a website, of course. It's swilkingharan.com, which is just my name. And then my books are available at Amazon, of course, and Barnes & Noble online. And there's Volume 1, which is Prevention, everyone. And then Volume 2 is Treatment and Survival.
Very cool. So I want to offer you 1 minute because we have to wrap up. But what is the one absolute important thing that you want 90,000 plus people internationally to take away from today's show?
Boy, I think we've said it before, Rusty. Please don't be afraid of cancer. Cancer is not what it used to be. We are learning to live with cancer today, just like we live with diabetes, just like we live with, lots of other illnesses. And it's becoming more and more available. The screening is more available. More information is available. So please don't stick your head in the sand. Find out more about it. You know, it's like a game in sports. The best defense is a very strong offense. And I always like to tell people, go after it. Don't wait for it to come after you, because, you know, the winning team, the winner, the victor, is the one who understands the enemy better. And that's what we want to do with cancer. Let's understand it. Let's educate ourselves. I don't want you to be surprised. Anybody, I want you to be prepared.
Very cool. So many hugs and kisses, and just very grateful that you're advocating and helping guide people through what has been offered as a fearful subject for as long as I can remember it being beaten over my head. My first remembering of being afraid of cancer was during the whole TAB thing back in the 80s. Remember that?
Yeah.
When TAB supposedly was causing all of these crazy cancers, and oh my God, and like, so, you know, some of the fears that we have surrounding these type of diseases definitely are deeply rooted into childhood. So be cognizant of those choices that you make, and definitely go and get tested, because it doesn't hurt. What really, really hurts is finding out after the fact. That hurts. That hurts.
That's
bad.
Right. And remember, having the screening tests is nothing compared to not catching something that's wrong and then going through treatment for a long period of time. That's what we want to avoid, everybody.
Mm-hmm. That is it.
Yeah.
Well, I do, and many hugs to you, and keep up the good work. I just think you're really refreshing. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me join you. It's been so nice talking to you. Amy, thank you. Rusty, thanks again.
All right, my dear.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Amy, I have to say that this work is becoming more and more and more incredible. For me personally, I'm just feeling like each and every guest has this amazing story, amazing offering to all of our listeners out there for healing and living and thriving and growing and motivating personal change. And I couldn't be more grateful.
In our own hands, That's what I got from today, is just basically taking, instead of, you know, wondering and waiting, take it in your own hands. You know, look into your family history. Be aware. And you don't necessarily have to live in fear, but just being aware and taking those steps to prevent, you know, those things from happening is really the key here. And I think that, you know, she and a bunch of other of your, you know, friends, experts on the C word, you know, really need to all come together, and I think it's coming together very nicely. It's very refreshing.
I do too. I think that's been the topic of the last three shows, the big C word, and I'm really feeling as though we've closed as many loopholes in that particular subject as I think we are going to possibly do at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, 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 interesting, fun, different, exciting, limited, creative, amazing connection with dolphins next week.
Yay.
Kristen Couture, founder and facilitator of Purefin LLC, will be on next week. I've never met her, but a mutual friend, Miss Sarah Hart, who I love and adore and just like to pinch her cheeks because she's fabulous, is her assistant, and she's like, Rusty, you got to have her on. And I'm like, all right, totally cool, because I'm into dolphins, and I would love to learn more about what Crystal does in regards to Purefin.
I have an appointment with her on a different side of her work, so it'd be interesting to talk about both of her work.
Okay. Now, she's a chiropractor too, right?
Well, she's a physical therapist, but she deals with acupressure and more natural energy work and things like that. So I'm going to be seeing her next week. And so that'll
for your hip?
Well, funny. Yeah, well, my neck.
Okay. Tell me how that goes, because I've got to get into traction or something with mine. So.
Yeah, well, Sarah had explained to me what she does, and it sounded like something. My doctor was actually very pleased to have found that and told me it would be very beneficial for me to try that. So that's what I will
very
do,
cool.
And I will let you know how that goes.
Very cool. All right, well, again, the world is very, very small.
I know.
Last week, the guest actually lives down the road from me.
Wow.
Never knew. That's, yeah. So it's just, it's coming into my neighborhood. So exciting.
Oh,
so
no.
Until next week, know that I love you. Know that you're beautiful. Know that this show would not be what it is without you, with your inspiration, your motivation, your questions, the people that you bring to me to have on the radio show. I'm grateful, and keep them coming. And also be on the lookout for the newsletter. Sign up, sign up, sign up. And if you know anybody who wants to sponsor my vlogs or the radio show, keep me posted. I'm opening up those channels and those doors as well. I love you. You're beautiful. Have a terrific week, and change somebody's tude by smiling at them. Just have a smile on today, even if you have to use pretend duct tape to pull those cheeks apart. You can do it. Until next week.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.